Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in the studio today, and we have Adriana. Janelle's back with us, and Miss Tanya's back with us.
Yay!
And nice to have them both back.
Right.
Yeah, Miss Tara and myself, Sandy, and we are going to begin Philippians 2. And we think we're going to get through verses 1 through 4, and Philippians is such a beautiful chapter of rejoicing.
It's a good book. It is a great book. And we've been talking about it. I don't know. This is, I think, maybe our fourth month recording on this particular book. I'm hoping you guys could, whoever's listening, y'all could pray for me on this. I'm really hoping that maybe I can write a curriculum for school to teach this. And so that's something that's resonating in my heart. And this morning, as I was going back over the lesson, just that urge to, okay, I don't care if I don't teach it. I think I'm just going to have to write the course just because it's in me. You know what I mean? And so I'm excited about that. But Philippians, we have to go back and talk about where we've been so that if somebody's listening, they can understand what we're looking at. The book of Philippians is written to the people of Philippi, and the people of Philippi are actually found in Acts 16. And in Acts 16, it's the story of Paul leading Lydia, the Asian wealthy merchant, to the Lord in her household, the demon-possessed girl, and the Roman jailer. And we see that the people of Philippi immediately are a diverse group of people. They match, they have all realms of society, and they have all ethnic groups. And so it's a culture that is richly diverse. And the commonality that they have is that they came to know the Lord under Paul's leading. And now the people of Philippi are the ones that have been faithful and taking care of Paul, and they're the only ones that Paul has allowed to take care of him. And so this is his love letter to them. It is the only letter that Paul writes that does not like go in and do like really heavy teaching and correction to them. It's more of a exhortation towards joy. And so that's what makes this book so special. So I thought today for our purposes, I'm going to open up with reading it from the Amplified version, and then on the other times we'll actually do it from, you know, non-amplified. But I liked some of the descriptions that were used in these four verses, so I pulled it up and wanted us to use it. So the Bible tells us in Philippians 1:1-4, Amplified version. So by whatever appeal to you there is in our mutual dwelling in Christ, by whatever strengthening and consoling and encouraging our relationship in him affords, by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, and by whatever depth of affection and compassionate sympathy, fill up, complete my joy, by living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. Do nothing from factional motives, through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourself. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interest, but also each for the interest of others. May God honor the reading of his word. So here we have Paul's exhortation, and the commentators say, you have to understand, we've gone through chapter one, he more is informational based, and he kind of sums it up in verse 127. And then in 127, he kind of shows what's about to happen in chapter two. And chapter two is all full on exhortation, which is an encouragement. And so that's where we're at. And so what we'll do is we're just going to start breaking it down. We're going to look at it and just enjoy what Scripture has for us. And in the first verse, Paul says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. I wanted to see, does anybody else's translation say something different? Like any consolation or... No, we all have the same kind of translation.
Mine says ESV, consolation.
Yeah. Okay, because depending on your translation, it's either the word encouragement or consolation. From being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, and if any tenderness and compassion. The first thing that we have to understand is that the word if here In our language, makes it sound like it's a clause, like it could happen or may not happen. And actually, that's not a very good translation of what was actually said in the Greek. The actual Greek would be better translated since. And the word since is actually implying back to verse 127. Janelle, would you read for us verse 127?
Mm-hmm. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then I will come and see you, or only hear about you in my absence. I will know that you stand firm in this one spirit, striving together as for the faith of the gospel.
Okay, so what is Paul wanting to have happen? What's he wanting to occur among them?
He's wanting there to be unity among them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what else? What else do you see from this?
That the word or the gospel would go forward because of this, that they're not striving mm-hmm. to make themselves known,
yeah, right.
Yeah. But Christ.
Yeah. And is he? He says, if he's present or absent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is so heavy on my heart. This time of year, it is so heavy on my heart because. Monday is my last day teaching at the Open Door Mission until mm-hmm. fall, and right now we're closing down Grace. My peeps are in the middle of finishing up their stuff, and yep. we're getting ready to close down the dorms, and so campus is going to be empty, and I'm in the middle of working on the student handbook and doing the edits for the student handbook, and just the discussion of, you know, character. And, you know, is it meant to happen only when you're in the presence of your teacher or your professor or on campus or when session is happening? What should it look like? And I was telling the men and women at the Open Door Mission the other day, and it's like we were finalizing it, this verse, and I said, I know this. I long for this. I want to know that when I come back in September that I'm going to hear about how you have conducted yourselves in Christ, because that gives me joy.
Right.
And one of my greatest joys is when I have somebody that's left the mission or one of my students that have graduated and they see me in the city or they see me somewhere and then they tell me what is going on in their life. Mm. And then the joy that I have inside of seeing Christ continuing in them and them allowing that to happen. That's what Paul mm-hmm. wants on their hearts as he's writing this section in chapter 2. And, you know, do you guys have people that you long to see this in your life where you're going to leave, but you return and you want to know mm-hmm. that it's there?
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just give me a few examples of people that you have in your life that you're longing for this for.
I mean, when I moved away from my hometown in Beatrice, there were friends that I left there that I don't get to see very often. And I know that they've had struggles, whether with their own personal sin or with just their environment. And when I call them, there's nothing more disheartening than hearing that there hasn't been victory in those. And there's nothing that brings me more joy than to see progress and success in those areas.
Mm. So true.
Yeah.
Discipled long time ago, 10 years ago probably, but we're still great friends. Don't get to talk often, but they posted a picture of themselves together at a Jeremy Camp concert just the other day, and I was like pure joy. Like my smile was so huge, and I had to respond and praise God with it because I was so excited for them, just that they're continuing in that and in their friendship, you know.
Hmm. And I think that's true. That's where Facebook is good.
Yeah.
Well, there's not always good, but you can
mm-hmm.
see
right.
the progress or lack of progress
right.
or whatever.
The update.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because sometimes they get out of sight,
yeah.
and you don't want them to be
right.
out of mind.
Right.
Right. It reminds
yeah.
you to continue
yeah.
to
absolutely.
Lift them up in prayer.
All right. So there's an encouragement that happens with that, right?
Yeah.
So that's why he's saying if, or it should be the word since, you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, because we have this uniting. And the crazy thing is that I've had this happen to me even with people that I don't know in the Lord, that when I've gone to different countries and I meet up with a sister in Christ at an event that we're doing or missions, you know, and I hear of how they are being faithful to the Lord, even though I was not the person who invested in them.
Right.
the encouragement that it brings out is mind-boggling, and because it's the unity of the body. Yeah. And so Paul is wanting us to understand that joy, he's going to be talking about do these things. We're going to look at these things over the next 4 weeks. Do these things because it makes my joy complete. Mm. And what we have to understand is attitude.
That's a biggie.
Will affect our joy. Mm-hmm. And how we treat others, mm-hmm. the behavior we have with one another is an actual joy factor. So if I feel low on my joy scale, whatever that might look like if you were to scale it, could it be because maybe I have not had the right attitude toward those that I need to interact with?
I think that's the biggie. Because I know when my attitude's going downhill,
joy goes with it.
Joy just kind of disappears.
It does. Yep. So in our adult degree completion program, I want you to look up for me a verse, Adriana. I want you to go look up 1 Corinthians 12:27, and I want you to read it for us. And this past week for our, last week I should say, yeah, our devotional, this verse was the devotional that they used. And depending on which translation she has, I'll add to it based on the words that were in my version.
Okay.
12:27.
12:27 you said? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it.
Oh, you got the exact one I wanted. Perfect translation. Okay. Hear that. Okay. You are the body of Christ, individual members of it. Okay, individual members. That is an oxymoron. I love how Jesus does that. He likes to do that which does not make sense. Mm-hmm. Because in no other place can you be an individual yet be a member. In Christ, we are collectively one. Yet we are still an individual. We still have to individually receive Jesus, but we have a oneness in us because of the Spirit of God in us. So we are individual members. And that unity is greatly impacted by the interactions that occur. In the Amplified Version, it says that we are collectively our Christ body and individually members, each part severally and distinct, each of his own place and function. So it talks about how the interconnection of we're one, but yet together. And so thinking through, Paul's asking them, okay, since we have this encouragement that we are individual members, think on that, we are individual members that are together in Christ, that oneness that we have in Christ, since we have comfort from his, and then it goes into the next one, which would be his love. My question for us that I wanted us to ask is, what's Paul's encouragement? What is the encouragement he's trying to get out? Now that we've looked at that, what do you think he's trying to press in and get them to take hold of? If we are individual members, and he's thinking the city of Philippi. Now let's go back and let's think for a second. In Philippi, they saw him share Christ with Lydia at the riverbank, and Lydia and her household came to the Lord. They saw Christ command a demon leave from a girl, and they saw literally chains break in a prison cell, and he was freed, and a Roman soldier and his whole household came to know the Lord. Yet here he sits in prison waiting, and he doesn't know if he's going to die, and the Lord is not unleashing the chains, and they've had to send Epaphroditus to come and serve him, and he's not getting out, and he's sitting there waiting, and they don't know what's going to happen. Now think on this. Why is Paul sending this encouragement about them being individual members, that they are collectively in Christ's body?
He needs them to rise up. Uh-huh. He doesn't know. He probably will not go back there. He needs them to rise up collectively and join together in a unity that brings a strength that nothing can defeat in Christ.
And without leadership, we scatter as a tendency, especially if we're diverse and don't have a commonality. And so if he, as their leader, is no longer going to be with them, or is no longer going to be able to, you know, in presence or absence, basically, they need to be able to find their source of their joy and of their unity together, because otherwise they won't be able to continue to have the cause of the gospel.
Right, right. And I love that you brought that up. You remember in the last radio shows we talked about that we become fractionalized, mm-hmm. fragmented, mm-hmm. and we just divide ourselves when we don't have somebody pointing us to Jesus.
Right.
And even in Christian circles and settings, we can forget we're the body. We forget that when I speak against so-and-so, I'm actually talking about my elbow.
Right.
Or, you know, good. When I'm destroying somebody, I'm messing with my neck right. or my feet. And so he's needing them to understand that they're one. So the encouragement is, because we are in Christ, we have this together, let's do these things. Because if we do these things, guess what? Unity will happen and my joy will be complete. It's beautiful, isn't it? Oh, it's like so good.
Yes.
So I have here, I wrote down, okay, so any encouragement in Christ, it actually comes from the word paraklesis, mm-hmm. which is the word exhortation. And I did not know this until I was in my doctoral program. So I probably found this out like eight years ago or so. That's because it seems like my doctoral was pretty recent, but it wasn't. It's almost 4 years now. We were sitting in class and we were talking about the encouragement of one another. We are to encourage one another. And Dr. Catanzaro, he was the dean of our school. He was our teacher. And he said, you know, Tara, encouragement also has a rebuke to it. And I'm like, what? And he goes, you cannot encourage somebody without rebuking them.
That's interesting.
And I'm like, what do you mean? Because it had never clued in to me. Now that he said it, I'm like, oh, duh, it totally makes sense. So if I encourage somebody to read their Bible, the implication is they're not reading it. Mm-hmm. So based on their heart condition, it will be, oh, yes, I need to read my Bible, or who are you to tell me? Right. And so their heart condition reveals whether or not they view it as a rebuke mm-hmm. or an encouragement. Mm-hmm. It's actually a revelation of the heart.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting.
And so it just was like, duh! One of those like huge moments for me where I finally understood why when I felt like I was given an encouragement for some people, they would get upset. Mm-hmm. And it's because of what's going on inside. And so he's saying, we have our encouragement in Christ, but we need to know it can be an encouragement or a rebuke. Mm-hmm. Come back next week and we'll get to hear more on this. God bless.